So we've had a great time praying for our communities, haven't we, Jan? Prayer breakfast, Lynn. We just feel so encouraged, as we shared last week, about the words that God keeps giving us. I know we're not seeing it all the time, but we just feel so encouraged about what God wants to do in our communities. And every week we feel like there's something fresh released for us. We just leave encouraged, don't we? We're like, yes, we're on the right track. Yes, He is doing something.
I thought the blaze when we prayed for those of us, they were very powerful.
Yes, Marilyn, yeah. We love it. We love it. It's great. It's great when you guys
can intensity about.
Intensity, yes, yeah. That's a good word.
David in Wales, they're a very poorly family. Long term, permanent illness, actually, unless God. But my goodness, that man's so hungry for revival. And Well, let's pray. I should be quick with what I'm going to share this morning. Father, we thank You for what You've already done this morning. We thank You so much for Your presence here with us. Yeah, and Lord, we want to pray that You will be so glorified through our lives. You will be glorified through everything our lives touch, that people will look and know that it can only be You. So Lord, I just pray this morning that You continue to speak to us, that You continue to minister to those that aren't here. Pour out from heaven, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. I have actually got a title for my talk. This came straight away. It's called "That's What's So Amazing About His Grace." It's a song, actually, but it kept going round in my head. That's what's so amazing about His grace. And I can look round here and say I absolutely know that you guys have walked in the grace of God, because you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't have survived, and I definitely wouldn't have survived without the grace of God, what He's done in our lives. And we just have to look back. We were non-Christian. We're still non-Christians longer than we've been Christians, aren't we, Helen, I think?
Yeah.
If I could do the math. I think that's what I was telling to Wyatt. But the grace of God, when I look back and think, oh my goodness, You've been so, so faithful. And over the last 18 months, I feel like God's been really speaking to me about grace. And it started when I got a till receipt that was £5.55. And I don't know if you know, but the number 5 is the number of grace in the Bible. And if you want more detail on that, you can look at, I've forgotten his name, Troy Brewer. He's done massive research on what numbers mean. And you can YouTube him, and he'll give you the why 5 is grace. It's quite incredible. So, I thought, oh, that's interesting, 5.55, so I kept that as a note, 5.55. And then I had another till receipt that was 5.55. I thought, okay, now you've got my attention. When it happens twice, if anything happens twice, let God get your attention. What might you be saying through that? And then I started waking up at 5.55. which was not so pleasant. And then I saw a number plate the other day. This is over the course of 18 months. And every time I feel like, okay, you're drawing my attention. I saw a number plate recently, actually, with 555. And do you know what? I keep finding 5Ps. I even took little Freddie to a party. I sat at a random table, sat down, and what was on the table? A 5p. I was like, okay, God. I've seen them in the street. I've seen them in Tunbridge High Street. I've seen them around Ashton Walk, round near where Lynn and I live. It's bizarre. And I thought, okay, you've got my attention. It's taken over 18 months to really get my attention. So I want to talk quickly. I'm going to talk quickly about rape, because it's not a complete talk. I'm going to throw some things out for people to really dwell on and think on. But a guy called Jim Baker, a great preacher in America, says, "Grace is the divine characteristic that enables us to live in God's supernatural dimension. Oh, I love that. Grace is the divine characteristic that enables us to live in God's supernatural dimension. God's grace, or grace, is God's desire to bless us, not on the basis of our performance, but on the basis of Jesus' performance. So, I mean, I just love being reminded of that. Or, you know, revelation comes in different layers. Sometimes we receive it at one layer, but actually God wants to move it deeper. Grace is not a license to sin. And if you read, I'm not going to go with that one, but read Romans. It's not a license to do what we like and sin and just expect grace. And Corrie ten Boom, there's a beautiful story about her dad. I think she was talking about grace or something. And he used the illustration of, when you're going on a train, when do you need the ticket? You need the ticket just as you're about to go on the train. And that's often the nature of grace, that we need grace just as we're about to step into something, step out of something, manage something, do something. So grace. And then this, someone called Elizabeth Elliot said, there is no grace for the imagination. Might have to think about that a bit, but I loved it.
No grace what?
For the imagination. So, supernatural power of God is not available for our speculations or our lofty thoughts. So when you, perhaps like, I don't know if you're like me, you can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start imagining every disaster there is on earth, there's no grace for that. There's no grace for what you're imagining. So there's no grace for the, you know, what's going to happen this week. I'm looking at the week thinking, oh my goodness, got this to do. Now we've got food packs to do. But there's no grace thinking like that. Each day, grace has got to be fresh in our lives to do what God's called us to do. The mind, and Wyatt spoke about this morning, powerfully shapes the life of us, of the believer. And how we use our mind matters. So just remind yourselves, if you're like me at 3 a.m. or at 6 a.m. and you start speculating on the day, remind yourself there's no grace for that. There's only grace for the things that God has for us. Romans 5:2 says, we have access by faith into this grace. We have a grace for salvation when we're saved. There's a grace there. But grace is accessed by faith. So we need to know that we need it so we can use our faith to access it, if that makes sense. So often, that's what I'm learning at the moment, actually, is I'm learning when I'm in a situation that I'm perhaps struggling with, or just busy, or worried, I'm like, no, I can use my faith. There is grace for this, because Jesus is with me, and Jesus is the one that is full of all grace and truth, which was, I think, the first piece of that. Our faith in Jesus positions us to receive all we need to live in and for him by grace. So our position, being in Jesus, positions us to receive all the grace that we need. For by grace you were saved, by faith. Faith is such a muscle that needs to be exercised in our lives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, so read this out. You've got your Bible.
Sorry, 1 Corinthians 15:10.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. I find that quite interesting, because he's saying was not in vain. So does that mean actually grace could be there that is in vain? We're not accessing it for what we need to do, if you think of it in the opposite way. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God. It's by grace which was with me. The presence, the very presence and nature of Jesus with us. The Passion Translation says, the grace was not fruitless. He accessed the grace he needed to do what he was called to do. The supernatural power to live in that supernatural dimension of God. Paul to Timothy. Let's have a look at that one. Which is 2 Timothy, first verse. Says, this is Paul's instructions to Timothy. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's just saying to him, be strong in this grace. There's grace available. Don't rest in your own strength and what you can do and what you can achieve, which is so easy for us to do. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew how much we continually needed that grace. We can position ourselves as well to receive grace, and it comes by knowing our need, by knowing that we need that grace. I think sometimes when we step out with people or step out to share something, we need that grace of God. We need to know his presence with us, don't we, as we do that. And of course the famous verse, which is quite funny with Mike giving his IQ result, the famous verse is 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Heidi said to us years ago, back in 2010, she said to us, go low, and when you've gone low, go lower still. And that has been so powerful in our lives, hasn't it, hon? That we can choose that low road. We don't have to get up on our... it's a choice. But grace is available for the humble when you know that you can't do all that God's called you to do.
Yeah,
2 Corinthians 9:8, which is about giving, I think. But recognise that one way to receive grace is recognise that God is able to make all grace abound to you in every situation. So whatever we're facing, grace is available. God's grace, his divine presence, enabling us to live in God's supernatural presence. His ability in every situation, Jesus in every situation. The religious mindset beats itself up when it gets something wrong. We can all go there. We can beat ourselves up, brooding over what was wrong. But the free mindset recognises what was wrong, falls on their knees for more grace for transformation. That's another place where we can receive grace. When we know we're wrong, we know that we're walking in the wrong way, we're behaving the wrong way, takes us to our knees, that place, and asking God, using our faith to ask God for more grace, because grace is the power for transformation. It's actually a beautiful walk with Jesus. It's just constantly, I love it because Jesus uses everything to draw us closer. Everything in our lives, every difficulty, anything is about drawing us into his presence, drawing us into a walking in the Spirit, and pulling on heaven for everything that we need. Ephesians 4:29. These aren't all the verses on grace, so don't worry. There's lots more you can look for yourself if you want to. Ephesians 4:29 is another favourite of mine. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So when we prophesy over someone, when we speak out life over someone, we are imparting grace. We're imparting the grace of God for them to be everything God's called them to be and to do everything God's called them to do.
Yeah.
So we can play a great role in doing that for one another. And the prophetic words are important because they release a supernatural, they have a carry, a supernatural word, a power from God to enable us to be that person and to do what God's calling us to do. But I feel really excited about it because I think God's on the move and he's starting with the church. And he's starting with the things in our lives that he wants to bring into alignment with him. Certainly, anyway, he's doing that in me. regularly. And it's waking us up to our need for grace. If you don't know you need grace, you just go through life, la-di-da-di-da. But it takes grace to see as well where we need God. And we need God in this world, don't we? We can watch the news and watch the reports, and because it's just so much on the TV that actually we end up with quite a, not a dead heart, but a heart that's just like skimming over us. You know, sometimes we need grace to have a godly sorrow for what's going on in this world and a godly sorrow for what's happening to people and the choices people are making. Sometimes we need grace to feel compassion because we're bombarded with so much bad stuff. So we draw on God for that grace, for that godly sorrow, for that compassion. Jesus operated in compassion with situations that he saw and situations that he was drawn to. Compassion came before the miracle.
Yeah.
So we can pull on God in our everyday walk and say, Lord, give me that godly sorrow about the state of my world. Give me that godly sorrow about the state of schools, the NHS, that I can have compassion and pray. So I felt like he's waking us up to our need for grace, to live as his bride, pure and spotless. He's maturing us. That maturing means we recognise we need more of his grace, because he's calling us to a higher standard of holiness. And we can't reach that on our own. We need his supernatural grace to enable us to reach that higher place of calling.
Yeah,
and
good.
You can read again Ephesians 4, verse 1, what the calling. And there's other places in Ephesians about our calling. Called to holiness. Be holy like I am holy. How can we do that? We cannot do that without him. So we use our faith. We don't batter ourselves. We use our faith. We need grace to help us fall to our knees and ask for change in this nation. We need grace. It's not somebody else's job to ask for that. It's our job.
Yeah.
We need grace to fall on our knees and say, God, we need your grace so that we can pray with your heart. And Jim Baker, he says, the mature believer is not the person who needs grace less. The mature believer is the one who's consuming grace more and more, living from his strength and not their own strength. So we should be great consumers of his grace. Grace, his divine love and transforming power infused within us. It enables us to grow and fulfill his purpose for our lives. That's what grace does. We don't try and do it on our own. We pull on heaven. We pull on the resources of Jesus living in us. So let's just finish with that wonderful verse in John. Well, every verse is wonderful, isn't it? 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It's that sense of as we abide, we have access to the fullness of the grace that we need to be everything that he's called us to be and to do everything he's called us to do. And John sums it up. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the one full of the grace that we need to be who he's created us to be and to do the things he's created us to do. So for each one here, God has a call on you, a call on you as a son and a daughter, first of all, and a purpose to do for him in the kingdom. Each person here, and the grace that's accessible for that whatever that is, and we use our faith to pull on that grace, to abide in Jesus, and know that he's with us every step and has everything that we need to live this incredible life. Yeah, so Father, I pray that you will mature us into your beautiful bride. That by the power of your Spirit this morning, Lord, you would refresh us in who we are as your sons and daughters. You will remind us of the specific purposes that you may have called us to, the different giftings in this room. You will show us how much we need to pull on the grace that you have available for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you will increase our faith, to use our faith to pull on grace, knowing that you are with us constantly. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the person of truth and grace. I'm just going to say this morning. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, I just invite you this morning to ask him to come into your life as the person of truth. Truth is a person, grace is a person, peace is a person. He has all that you need. I just invite you to ask him in, to recognize your need of him, to understand where your life is out of alignment with his plans and purposes, and ask him in. Or maybe even you want to give your life over to him again. Say, Lord, I've not walked fully in the grace that's available for me. I want to give you my life again today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you guys.